This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these messages, Pastor Rick shares practical Bible study tools that will reignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your life as you grow closer to Jesus. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Seeing What God Wants Me to See.
Now, you know this story, that God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, the nation of Israel, and that God would give him a son to be the heir to this great nation. At 90 years of age, Abraham still doesn't have a son. This is a problem. And Abraham goes, this is a problem. And Sarah said, you're not kidding, it's a problem. It's a big problem. So Sarah comes up with plan B. And Sarah says to Abraham, look, I'm too old to have a baby. God's promised to give us a child. Why don't you do this? Why don't you take my assistant, my handmaiden, Hagar, and she'll be a surrogate mother, and you have a baby through her. Abraham goes, great idea. Great idea, Sarah. And so Hagar gets pregnant with Abraham's child. This is not God's plan. This is Sarah's plan. But the little baby is born, and he's a beautiful little baby, and they name him Ishmael. And Ishmael begins to grow up, and Abraham holds up Ishmael before God and says, God, you have given me the promised boy. And God says, that's not my plan. That's Sarah's plan. Now, I love Ishmael, and he's a good kid, and I'm going to make him a great nation too, but he's not the promised miracle boy. Later, by a miracle, Sarah does get pregnant, and she has a little boy named Isaac, who becomes the father of the Jewish nation. By the way, Ishmael becomes the father of the Arab nations. Ishmael is the father of all the Arab nations today. Now, Sarah gets upset. And she starts getting jealous, and she's thinking, Ishmael's a little bit older. He's the firstborn. He's probably going to get the inheritance. Abraham's going to favor him. And she gets jealous, and she kicks out Hagar and her young baby son. And he says, you guys are out of here. You're no longer my assistant. Get out of here. And she kicks him out into the desert. And we pick the story up in Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. It says this. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water. You know, they made canteens out of animal skins in those days, and gave them to Hagar. And he set them on her shoulders, and he sent her off with the boy. He's kicking her out of the house. And she went on her own and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. And when the water in the canteen was gone, she put the little boy, Ishmael, under one of the bushes. And she went off and sat down nearby about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch this little boy die. They're not only starving to death, they're dying of thirst. They're out in the desert. I cannot watch this boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. This is a very tragic scene of rejection. Now God heard the little boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. And he said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard this little boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And he did. All the Arab nations came out of Ishmael. Now we pick up the story in verse 19 on your outline. And it says there, then God opened her eyes. Circle that phrase. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and she filled the canteen with water and gave the boy a drink. And as you know, they survived that event, and she went on, and Ishmael became the father of all the Arabs. Now, here's the point. She had the solution right in front of her, this well of water, but she couldn't see it until God opened her eyes, illuminated her mind, helped her see it from a different perspective. I don't know what problem you're going through right now, but you've got problems in your life. You thought, frankly, I don't see any way around this. There's no answer to it. I can't see the solution. It just looks like one dead end after the other. I cannot see the solution. You need to have your mind illuminated. You need the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind. You need him to open your spiritual eyes so you can see the solution in God's word. You're never going to see the solution to your problem on your own. You've tried, and you go, I don't see how we're going to get out of this one. But you need to see it from God's point of view. And when God opens your eyes, you see the resources that were literally right there in front of you. But you didn't see him. Story number two. The second benefit of having your eyes spiritually opened is I see the barrier to my progress. I not only see the solution to my problems, but I see the barrier to my progress. You have some things you've been wanting to do in your life, and you've been wanting to start a business or start a family or get out of debt. Or you've had some goal or some dream, and you've won one, and you've been trying to make progress on it, but you just keep bumping up against an invisible wall. And he's going, I don't get it. I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not making any progress. You need to have your eyes open, your eyes illuminated.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Pastor Rick says the Bible isn't meant to just inform us. It's meant to transform us. That's why it's so important to study God's Word. Maybe you've never studied the Bible and you don't even know where to start. Or maybe you read the Bible every day, but you're not getting all God has for you out of the time you spend with Him. That's why Pastor Rick created a very special Bible study called 40 Days in the Word. This life-changing resource will ignite your passion for God's Word and revolutionize your relationship with Jesus. The 40 Days in the Word study kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find interactive journaling pages and Bible verse cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called, How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks for your gift to help more people learn, love, and live God's Word through Daily Hope. By the way, right now when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, generous friends of Daily Hope are going to match your gift up to $50,000. But you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. Go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And as a special thank you, we'll send you the 40 Days in the Word Bible Study Kit. Again, that's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004.
Now, back to more from God's Word with Pastor Rick Warren.
You have some things you've been wanting to do in your life, and you've been wanting to start a business or start a family or get out of debt, or you've had some goal or some dream, and you've won one, and you've been trying to make progress on it, but you just keep bumping up against an invisible wall. And he's going, I don't get it. I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. I'm not making any progress. You need to have your eyes open, your eyes illuminated. Now, the story that gives a good example of this is in Numbers chapter 22. You might write that down. Numbers 22. And it's the story of a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. But Balaam decided and agreed to help the bad guys. And this ticked God off. He goes, wait a minute, Balaam, you're supposed to be my representative, and you're going to go help the bad guys? And so as Balaam starts on his journey to go help the bad guys, God puts an angel in his pathway and blocks his progress. Only Balaam can't see the angel, and so he doesn't know what's going on. But his barrier to his progress was invisible, and he could not see it. So he's heading off on this journey to go help the bad guys. We pick up the story in verse 22 of Numbers 22. But God was furious that Balaam was going. So he sent the angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block Balaam's way. Now, Balaam's donkey actually saw the angel standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey could see it, but Balaam didn't. And the donkey bolted off the road into a field out of fear. But Balaam beat the donkey and turned it back on the road. This is funny. Balaam can't see what's going on, but the donkey can. And he says, you know, this angel's in the middle of the road with a big sword. He goes, I'm not going there. And the donkey's pretty smart. He goes off into the ditch. Balaam beats the donkey. He gets angry. It's not the donkey's fault. He can't see what's out there. So then the second time it says, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed. This is the second time. The road narrowed between two vineyard walls. So it's getting very narrow. And the angel of the Lord stood in the middle. Now, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing there, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. We always get hurt when we're trying to do something that God doesn't want us to do. We always get our foot crushed. We always get hurt. And Balaam doesn't see what's going on. Balaam looks at the donkey, why'd you do that? Why'd you run against the wall and break my leg? And he says he beat the donkey again. He's angry. Third time. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place so narrow that the donkey could not even get by. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it just lay down under Balaam. Smart donkey. Okay, I give up. He just collapses and he gives up. In a fit of rage, the Bible says, Balaam beat it again with his staff. Now we pick up the story on your outline in verse 31. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Circle that phrase. This is illumination. He opened Balaam's eyes. And now Balaam saw what the problem was. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So what does Balaam do now? And that is eyes are open. He bows down low and he falls down face down and he worships God. Now that is a very strange, strange, strange story. But here's the point. You have plans in your life that aren't working out. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you try to go this way and you get blocked. And you're getting mad at everybody else. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at your husband. You're beating your donkey. Okay. You're taking it out on your kids. You're talking about your boss behind his back and on and on and on. And you're mad at everybody because you can't see what the real problem is. God is blocking that issue. He is trying to keep you from making a serious mistake. And God's saying, I'm not going to let you go down that road. And no matter how much you beat your head against the wall, I'm not going to let you go down that road because I love you too much and you're going to be stopped by it. Now, when your progress is being blocked, you got one of two choices. Beat the donkey or let God open your eyes. You can either get mad at everybody around you and spiritually vomit on them and take it out on your kids and your husband and your wife and everybody else. And you're just so sick and tired and you're blaming everybody for your problem. But the problem is you can't see the problem. The barrier is God is not going to let you do that. Because he loves you too much. But when God opens my eyes, I can see the solution to my problems. And when God opens my eyes, I can see the barrier to my progress. And I go, oh, that makes sense. Story number three. When God opens my eyes, I see the defense for what's attacking me. I see the defense, how God is going to defend me for the things that are attacking me. Now, everybody feels under attack at different points in their life. You may feel under attack right now. Maybe you're under attack by germs and you're getting sick. Maybe you feel like you're under attack by the economy and you've lost your job or lost your income or lost your retirement. Or you feel under attack by former friends, or you feel under attack by your own family, or you feel under attack by your own mind and the fears that are beating in on you, and you just feel like you're beaten down and you're under attack. And you think that you're all alone and you don't know what God is going to do in that. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. Write this down, 2 Kings chapter 6. And it's the story of Elisha and the Arameans. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a nation called Aram, A-R-A-M. And the nation of Aram was always at war with Israel. They were always going to war with Israel. But every time they would attack Israel, God would tell Elisha, who was the prophet of God in Israel, God would tell Elisha what the king of Aram's plans were, the war plans, in advance. And so Elisha would go tell the king of Israel, and each time the king of Israel would kick the king of Aram's rear. And he's winning time after. This gets very old to the king of Aram. He's going, I can't win. No matter what problem I come, no matter what brilliant battle plan I come up with, somebody's finding out. And he thinks there's a traitor in his own people who's sharing the secrets. He goes, we got to plug this leak. And so we pick the story up in verse 10 of 2 Kings 6. It says, this happened, this leak happened several times. So the king of Aram became very upset over it. And he called in his officers and he demanded, which of you is the traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? It's not us, my lord, one of the officers replied. It's that Elisha. Elisha, the prophet of Israel. He tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. He knows your plans before you tell us. The king said, well, I'll tell you what. You go find where Elisha is, and we're going to send troops to seize him. We're going to send our whole army after this one guy. We're going to stop this leak. And he said, you go find out where he is. Well, the report came back. Elisha is at Dothan. Dothan was a little town in Israel. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and many horses to surround the city where Elisha was. This is Dothan. Now, when Elisha's servant, this is a guy named Gehazi, wakes up the next morning, early next morning, he goes outside. He sees the city surrounded by troops, by chariots, and by horses. And Elisha's servant has a panic attack. He goes, we're in a goner. It's us against all these attackers. And he runs back in and he tells Elisha, he says, what'll we do now? He cries out to Elisha. And Elisha replied, don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now, Gehazi's going, from a human standpoint, that's not true. There's like several thousand soldiers out there, and there's you and me. So what are you talking about? There's more on our side than on theirs. It's just us two against this army. We pick up the story in verse 17 on your outline. Elisha prayed, O God, O Lord, open his eyes. Circle that phrase. He's talking about his servant, Gehazi. Oh, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked out and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is the angel army that he did not see from a physical standpoint. He's going, behind the scenes, I can't see this, but there are evidently some supernatural forces here that are going to protect us that I haven't been able to see before. And he sees it. Now, he's not afraid anymore. You lose your fear when God is near. Okay? Now, the rest of the story says this. As the Aramean army advanced toward them, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." I like this. Lord, make them blind. And so the Lord did. He just, as Elisha asks. So Elisha goes out and he told them, "You have come the wrong way." Well, this is funny. He's talking to the enemy army that's come to capture him in Dothan. They're all blind now. And he says, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city." He's just deceiving them. He's flat out deceiving them. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I'll take you to the man you're looking for. Now he was standing there right in front of them. And he takes them to Samaria. Now what's in Samaria? The king of Israel and the massive Israeli army. So what's he do? Here's Elisha leading an enemy army that has all been blinded. One guy leading them right into the hands of the Israeli army. Now it says in the Bible, as soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see again." And the Lord did just that, and they discovered that they were in Samaria. "We ain't in Kansas, Dorothy. And when my eyes are open, I open them up, and all of a sudden, here I am. I'm not in Dothan, I'm in Samaria, and I'm surrounded by the Israeli army." This is hilarious. Now, when Elisha's king, the king of Israel, saw the captive enemy army, he shouts out to Elisha, "Should I kill him?" Elisha said, "Of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war?" "No. Give them food and drink and send them home again." So the king of Israel made a great feast for the Aramean army, and then he sent them home to their king. And after that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. I guess so.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Did you know you can start every day with hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick? Well, you can when you sign up to receive his life-changing Bible teaching delivered directly to your inbox. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up for his free Daily Hope devotional. Don't miss out. Sign up now at PastorRick.com. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, we have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $50,000 matching grant. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. Call 800-600-5004. Or you can visit PastorRick.com, and we'll send you Pastor Rick's 40 Days in the Word study kit to say thanks. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Please be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.